The Lord is the portion of my inheritance and of my cup. Thou maintainest my Lord. The lion has fallen unto me in pleasant places. Yea, I have a goodly heritage. I will bless the Lord who has given me counsel. My reins also instruct me in the night season. I have set the Lord always before me, because it is at my right hand, I shall not be moved. Therefore, and my glory rejoices, my flesh also rests in hope. For thou wilt not leave my soul in hell, and neither wilt thou suffer thy Holy One to see corruption. Thou wilt show me the path of life. In thy presence is fullness of joy. At the right hand there are pleasures forevermore. Amen. God bless the reading of his word. Psalm 16 is a very special psalm, and it is called the Michtam of David. Michtam of David, which also translates to a golden psalm of David. The reason why it is deemed as a golden psalm is because it speaks so plainly of Christ and the new life that his resurrection has brought to mankind. But what is interesting is that it was a psalm that was written by David before Christ came. So, in essence, David had a vision of the Messiah. And this is one of the messianic psalms that we talk about. Peter, in his first message, when he received the Holy Spirit on Pentecost, quoted from this psalm. Acts chapter 2, verse 25 and verse 29 to 31. Peter was quoting from the psalm, and he was talking about the, let me just quickly point out to verse 25. And this is what Peter said. For David spake concerning him, I foresaw the Lord always before my face, for he is on my right hand, I shall not be moved. And that was one of the quotations that Peter was reading from in the scripture. Then he went on to talk about, he will not let my servant see corruption. Paul also made reference to this psalm in Acts chapter 13, from verse 35 to 38. And they were all pointing it directly to Jesus Christ. They were all pointing it directly to Jesus Christ. But this morning, our emphasis today is in verse 11 and verse 8 of that psalm. Verse 11 and verse 8 of that psalm. Verse 11 says, thou wilt show me the path of life. In thy presence is fullness of joy. At the right hand are pleasures forevermore. And verse 8 says, I have set the Lord always, not sometimes, not when I come to church on Sunday, not when I feel like, not when I just, when it's convenient. He said, I have set the Lord always before me, because he's at my right hand, I shall not be moved. I have set the Lord always before me. So basically, the psalm writer here is saying, every time I look in front of me, I see God. Every time I look at my right, I see God. Every time I look at my left, I see God. Every time I look at my back, I see God. And the reason is that I made a conscious decision to set the Lord always before me. When we seek him, we will find him. I made a conscious decision to set the Lord always before me. How How do you make that conscious decision? God, as we said at the beginning of the year, is a God of the universe. So, God is always present everywhere. But it is for us to tap into that atmosphere of God. It is for us to link, to connect, to find a way of connecting to that atmosphere of God. And why do we need to connect to that atmosphere of God? That is what we want to share this morning. One of the unique things about God's presence is that it changes the environment. When we connect with Him, it changes our environment. It even changes our story. That is what happened when Jesus Christ came. It changes the story of the world. Before Christ came, the world was looking for a savior. Maybe not the world, maybe we should say the nation of Israel were waiting for a Messiah. They were waiting for a Messiah. They were waiting in a myopic way, in a little way, for a Messiah that will rescue them from the Roman Empire. That was what they were waiting for. But God, in His own plan from the beginning of creation, was going to give a Messiah that will save the whole world. Not just a nation, but the whole world. So God had a plan to save us through a Messiah. And that Messiah, the plan of God was, He was going to come from the seed of Abraham. That was the plan of God. He had already made that plan out because that was the promise of Abraham. Through Abraham, the nations of the world will be blessed. That was His promise to Abraham. And that was His plan. So, when He came, the children of Israel were looking to Him. Even the disciples were looking to Him and said, "When will the kingdom come to us?" And He said to them, "Hang on, mates. The kingdom of God is already here. The kingdom of God is already here. There's an atmosphere here that you should be feeling. There's a presence here that you should be feeling. God is here." Just as Jacob was saying, "God is here and I did not know." God is here. So Jesus was telling the disciples, "Hang on, He's here." But they were looking for a savior that will wield the baton, that will fight, bring out sword, and that will fight the battle. But the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but are mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. God was already making provision for the world. So His presence, its atmosphere, changed the story of the world. And when He went on that cross, He went on that cross in Calvary, in Israel. But the whole world today testify to that salvation that Jesus brought. The presence that changed the whole world story. He even changed the world calendar. That is the God that you serve. It changes the world calendar. Today, you have a calendar that says after death. That is the calendar that everyone is following. It changes the atmosphere. But it wasn't just when Jesus came that God started changing the atmosphere. It's always been changing the atmosphere. When Moses experienced the presence of God in the burning bush, it was no longer the Moses that was running from Egypt. The Moses that went into that wilderness, that went to Jethro, and Jethro, his father-in-law, was a Moses that was fleeing from Pharaoh. A Moses that was afraid of what Pharaoh would do for him. But does it not surprise you that when the same Moses that fled Egypt came in contact with God, he became bold. His fear was taken away. The Moses that encountered that God in the burning bush was telling God, God, I'm a stammerer. I don't have the ability to do anything. I can't do these things you're asking me to do. But when the Spirit of God and the presence of God fell upon him, his story changed. His life changed. His experience changed. The Bible says he became bold and told Pharaoh, "The God of Israel has said, let my people go." Exodus 5, verse 1. The God of Israel has said, let my people go. So he was bold to tell Pharaoh that he was running from. Remember, this Egypt that he ran away from, he was able to go back there and said, I've been sent. There's a presence that I have. There's nothing you can do about it. There's a power that is overshadowing me right now that you cannot, therefore, ignore what I say. And at some point, God told Moses, you know, you Moses, that you were very afraid before, I have made you a god to Pharaoh. Do you know that? Exodus 7 verse 1. I made you a god to Pharaoh. Moses, the fear of Moses, initially was the fear of Pharaoh that made Moses flee Egypt. But when Moses went back with the presence of God, it was the fear of Moses that came upon Pharaoh. To the point where Pharaoh said, I don't even need to see you anymore. Don't come into my presence anymore. Because each time he sees Moses, something happened. Something just happened and he was like, wow, this man is dangerous. And that was what happened. I pray for you today that your God will make you to be God over every situation in your life. Amen. Because one thing God wants to do is he wants to make you victorious. Amen. He wants to make you a conqueror. He wants to make you a victor in every situation. Amen. And God is working in you. Yes. He's with you to show forth his glory. And that power of God is there for you only if you acknowledge his presence. Because Moses could have been in that bush and not know that God was in that fire. It is possible. Moses could have been around that place and not know the presence of God. But the moment he sighted the fire, something drew him to that fire. And as he was drawing close to the fire, he could hear the voice of God. He could hear God speaking to him audibly. He says, Moses, the land you're standing on is a holy ground. And how will a wilderness, a forest, be a holy ground? But what made it unique for Moses was that the bush was burning. The fire was burning in the bush, but the bush was not consumed. So Moses could see that God was present. And because of Moses' experience of God's presence, he became so conscious of it after all the experience with Pharaoh that in Exodus 35, verse 15, he now had to say to God, that was after they've left Egypt, they've gone into the wilderness and they were on their journey. He said, God, I want to tell you one thing. If your presence will not go with us, we will not leave this place. Because he knew what the presence of God has done. He had that experience of what the presence of God can do. He saw what the presence of God did when he took him from the wilderness back from the wilderness back to Egypt. And how the presence of God, the Bible says, with God's strong hand, he took Israel out of Egypt. With God's strong hand, he took Israel out of Egypt. So Moses had that experience. He has seen that mighty work of God. So he now going to the wilderness and while they were journeying to the promised land, he said, God, hang on. If your presence will not go with us, we will not go away from here. We will rather stay here. We will rather die here than go further from this place. But God then promised him. God said, look, my presence will go with you. And you will have peace. Same was the experience of Joshua. In Joshua chapter 9, Joshua chapter 1, verse 1 to 9, God said to Joshua, as I was with Moses, so I will be with you. As I was with Moses. Joshua was a young boy who was Moses' errand boy. And he could see the presence of God in Moses. He could see the way God dealt with Moses. So when he took the reign of leadership, God just needed to assure him, as I was with Moses, so I will be with you. And Joshua understood it perfectly. Joshua had God's presence all through his journey. One of the things that interests me about Joshua's story was when he told the son, do not go down until you finish this war. He was able to command the son, do not go down until you finish this war. Because he knew what he had in him. Greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. Joshua was bold to make declaration. He was bold to speak to situations around him. He was bold. He said, when they went to see the promised land, Joshua was saying, we are able to take this land. Even the giants are there. We are able because God is with us. Joshua knew the presence of God. He carried on with that presence of God. In his later life, he was saying, as for me and my house, we will serve this God. You people might decide to do any other thing, but for me and my house, I have had an experience of this God. I have had the experience of his presence. I have seen it with Moses. I have seen it with myself. And as for me and my house, we will serve this God. He continued that journey. Solomon had the same experience. Solomon, a king, son of David, built a temple. 1 Kings chapter 8, verse 10 to 11. He built a temple for God. And as he built a temple for God, he had an experience of God. A very special experience. You see, the Bible says that the temple was filled with God's glory. That people that were sitting, that were standing in the temple, could not see each other. It was filled with God's glory. The presence of God. Do you know what is interesting about that thing? As soon as Solomon saw God's presence, what did he do? He started praying. He was praying for the nation of Israel. And that was where he then prayed that prayer. If my people that are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and repent from their wicked ways, then will you hear from heaven and heal their land. It was as a dedication of the temple, Solomon was saying, God, this is a place where your presence is. And therefore, we want to always come back here and seek your face. They knew God's presence. They had experience of God's presence. They wanted to continue to tap into God's presence. So he said those prayers and he said, until today, if you meet any Jewish person, till today, they believed in that prayer of Solomon. They still prayed to the temple till today. People that practice Judaism, even though the kingdom of God is now inside us, the presence of God is now inside us. The same was the experience of the disciples on Mount of Transfiguration, Matthew 17, verse 1 to 4. That was a very interesting experience. The disciples have been with Jesus for a while, and then Jesus took some of them onto the Mount of Transfiguration. And they got there, and they were like, you know, you're going with your mate, and you're like, mate, let's go. They were going with Jesus. Yes, we are going to the mount. Maybe we are going to pray because he loves praying. So they went there with Jesus and like, let's go and continue with your kind of prayer that you pray for long hours. And as they went there, they were standing there and then Jesus was transfigured and they could see Moses, Elijah, and they could see great men of God around Moses and they could see that the place was different. The lighting was different. Everything was different. Like, wow. This man that we've been following all these years is a different person entirely. And they started looking at him differently. And they could hear audibly the voice of God. Right there. Then Peter said, "Oh, Master. Right, your Master. You know, we don't need to go back to the other disciples. Let us just stay here. Let us just build a tent here. Let's just remain here." They could feel the presence. They could feel the joy that the presence brings. And they were like, "I want to remain here. I don't want to go away from here. God is here." As Jacob said, "God is here. And I can feel it. This is our Bethel. This is where God is. We want to stay here." Because they had the experience of God's presence. The scripture abounds with examples of people of God's presence and his experience. But one thing is very sure, and this is what God has in plan all along. God wants mankind to continually be in his presence and the atmosphere of his presence. God does not want to create a special presence. He wants us to continually be in that presence because he's a God of the universe. He's everywhere. He wants to continually create that presence. And that was why he told Moses, even before Moses said, "If you're not there with us, we will not go." He told Moses in Exodus chapter 33, verse 14, "My presence will go with you and I will give you rest." It's an interesting word. My presence will go with you and I will give you rest. Think of it this way. These guys were in the wilderness. A wilderness is where, number one, if you know the Sahara very well, there is no water, there is no food. For them to have food, for them to have water, Moses had to touch the rock, and water came out of the rock. For them to have food, the quails and manna had to come down. Remember that. And that was the journey they were taking. But God is saying, even in those journeys, because I'm providing for you, I will give you rest. Maybe you're going through wilderness of life and you're thinking, "Where is God?" Maybe you're going through difficult times in your life and you say, "Where is God in all this? Where is God?" Maybe you've got to that point where you just think, year in, year out, "Where is God?" Go back into that Exodus 33, verse 14, and look at that word. "My presence will go with you and I will give you rest." My presence will go with you and I will give you rest. Your battle of life may want you to think, where is the rest for me? Where is the solution to my problem? God is saying to you today, "I am with you. I will go with you and I'll give you rest." And that was even in the Old Testament. In the New Testament, after Jesus rose from the dead and he was going away, he said in Matthew 28, verse 20, he said, "Lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the world." I am with you always. Not once, not "I am with you always." So why do you think God is not there? Why do you think when you're in that troubled time, God is not there? God is always with you. In your difficult time, God is always present. God's presence has been exclusive right to every mankind. God's presence has been exclusive right to every mankind because he covenanted it to us. It's not the issue. It was his own decision to give us his presence. It was not our own decision. It was our own decision to give us his presence. The only thing he asks of us is to recognize his presence, is to be able to know that he is there. When you don't see him, he is still there. We sang a song just now, "Immortal God, Invisible God, Immortal God, how great." God is omnipresent. He's everywhere. He sees everything. He sees your situation before you see it. He knows what you are going through. This week, we're doing the Bible study. We're doing the Bible study, and someone asked a question
about prayer. And you see, when we don't know how to pray, the Bible says the Spirit, through the groaning, intercede for us. The Spirit, through the groaning, we don't know how to pray. We don't know what to ask. But the Spirit just, He knows your heart. So why don't you trust Him? If you believe Him, He will reveal Himself to you. God is ever present. He wants to be with you. All He's saying to you is, let me be part of your life. The atmosphere belongs to God. Everything, the earth is the Lord and the fullness thereof. The atmosphere belongs to God. But it is your ability to know that God is in my sleep, is in my waking, is in my walking, is in my... It's for you to acknowledge that thing. There's a prayer or saying that we used to say, God is in my days, is in my waking. I can't remember that word very well, but that is it. God is in everything we do. It's only for us to acknowledge that He's there. If we are to continually enjoy His presence, our joy will continue to be full. Because in His presence, the Bible says, there's fullness of joy. So, if we acknowledge His presence, even though we walk through the valley of the shadow of death, we will fear no evil. Our joy will be full. If we acknowledge His presence, it will fill our heart with heavenly joy. The presence of God, how does it look like? How does the presence of God look like? Does it have to, is there any special way to know that God is present? In the beginning, whilst men, Adam and Eve were in the garden, the Bible says, it comes down to commune, to fellowship with man. It comes down to fellowship with man. God was always coming down to fellowship with man. That was His plan. That was actually why He created man. He created the garden and created man and gave man the charge of the garden. And He was always coming back. It's like an employer who is coming to an employee and saying, how did the market go today? How did you manage these sales today? How did you manage these staff today? How did you manage this part of the business today? That's the way God wanted to do with us. And our life was meant to have been managed properly by Him. It was meant to be coming to us and saying, okay, well, how did what about these trees? What about that tree? What about this? What about that? What about yourself? Because there's no way an employer will ask about the business and not ask about the welfare of his own employee. He does. They do that. Oh, how are you feeling? That's the discussion God wants to have with us. That is what the plan of God is. But we failed. And we lost that. In Moses' days, they had the presence of God in the form of the Ark of Covenant. One of the things that the children of Israel believe so much is that the Ark of Covenant depicts the presence of God. So when they carry those ark and they're going, there's joy in the camp. They feel God is there. He's leading us. And they will be rejoicing. I love the way David brought back the ark the second time when he was bringing it back to the city of David. There was dancing. There was rejoicing. There was partying. They were just going and rejoicing and giving thanks to God because they believe God's presence is in the ark. They were carrying the ark diligently. And if you read the scripture very well, you will see in the scripture, he set out how to carry the ark, how to carry it with reverence, with joy, with happiness. So why will God be in your life and you'll still be looking miserable? Why? The joy of the Lord should fill your heart. In His presence, there's fullness of joy. In His presence, there's fullness of joy. After Christ came, He brought God's presence closer to us. And God does not live in the ark anymore, but now he lives within us. He does not live in the building as Solomon's temple in those days, but he lives in us. Revelation 3:20 says, I stand by the door and I knock. Anybody that opens the door for me, I will come. Not just myself. Myself and my Father will come and live with them. Revelation 3:20. So God's presence is with you. His presence is right inside of you. Christ in me, the hope of glory. God's presence is radiating around you. So long as you accept him as your personal Lord and Savior, you believe in his name. You believe in the name of, to as many as received him, he gave the power to become the sons of God. To as many as believed in his name. So basically, you carry God's presence. So it is not in a church building. It is not in a special place. You actually, let me tell you the secret today. You actually are the one that is bringing God's presence into this building. Because you are the temple of God. You are the one that is bringing God's presence into this building. So this place is dedicated to God's presence because you are carrying God. So when you come in, it is not the pastor or anyone special here. It is all of us together that come together as fellowship to bring down God's presence here. And as you do that, God wells up in you. Rivers of living water flows out of you. You become the source of life for everyone. Because where God's presence is, there's liberty, there's life, there's joy. So, why are you miserable? And God's presence is not only on a Sunday. The God of the universe does not wait until Sunday. Is with you always. His presence is always there. 1 Corinthians 6 verse 19 says, know you not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost? So basically, you carry God. So if you carry God, then why do you have to wait until Sunday to show God? Your Monday should be showing God. Your Tuesday should be showing God. Your Wednesday should be showing God. Your Thursday should be showing God. Your Friday should be showing God. Your Saturday should be showing God. Everything you do should be showing God. Because his presence is with you. I am with you always. Not just on a limited day. Not just the 2 hours or 3 hours you spend in church. No, I am with you always. So God's presence is with you. So, if you have God's presence, why don't you enjoy it? Why don't you live in it? Why don't you tap into it continuously? And how do you enjoy God's presence? We enjoy God's presence through praise. The Bible says God that in heaven, this is a good illustration I want to give you. In heaven, that the 24 elders and the angels continually praise him. They could see his presence. You know, I love when Isaiah wrote that he was taken to that heaven and he saw God in his glory. You know, you see God in his glory every day in your life. God's glory is continually in your life every day. So praise him. In your praise, you'll enjoy his presence. Because as you praise him, he reveals himself to you. As you praise him, he will continually well up his joy in your heart. The joy of heaven will fill your heart. How do you enjoy God's presence? Through prayer, communication. Like I said, in the Garden of Eden, he wants to come in. The plan was he wants to fellowship, he wants to commune, he wants to talk to every one of us. And that's just it. I love this song in RH 535. One of the stanzas in that song, I'm just going to quickly read it. He says, RH 535, he says, there is a sin where spirit blend. He said, he started by saying, from every stormy wind that blow, from every swelling tides of woe, there is a calm, a sure retreat,
a sure retreat that is found beneath the mercy seat. He says there is a place where Jesus shed the oil of gladness over our head, a place than all beside our seat. It is the blood-stained mercy seat. Then he says in verse 3, he says, there is a sin where spirit blend. Friend behold, hold, and friend hold fellowship with friends. Those sundered far, by faith we meet around one mercy seat. Presence of God is continually with you. Wherever you are, in your prayer, when you come down to pray, in your room, its atmosphere is there. Because you carry it. You are the one carrying it. So because you carry it, its atmosphere is there. So basically, you are letting God's atmosphere to let loose. And people should be able to see that atmosphere in you. People should be able to see that God in you. You are not like the world. You are in the world, but you are not like the world. So you cannot be miserable as the world. The joy of heaven should be filling your heart every day because you carry God with you. The God of the universe is right inside of you. The third one is by reading his word, studying his word. You have God's presence by reading his word. There's some scripture that you read, like this Psalm 16. You just read some scripture sometimes. You just feel this room is radiated with angels. Heaven is filling here. Heaven comes down and glory fill my soul. You can feel it right with you by reading the word. But when you read the word and allow the Holy Spirit to interpret the word in your life, you will be able to showcase God's presence because you will feel the God. Because the Spirit interprets the word into your heart in such a way that it's as if God is speaking right to you, right there. He wants to continually be with you. And he wants you to enjoy that presence. God's presence. This is how to enjoy it. But what can prevent God's presence? Deuteronomy 23. That's where I'm going to end today. Deuteronomy 23, verse 14. Deuteronomy 23, verse 14. Can you put that up for us? Deuteronomy 23, verse 14. Let's just read that together this morning. For the Lord thy God walketh in the midst of thy camp to deliver thee and to give up thy enemy before thee. Therefore thy camp shall be holy, that he sees no unclean things in thee and turn away from thee. The only reason why God's presence will not be with you is if he finds any unclean things with you. Brothers and sisters, you carry God in your life, but do not let any unclean thing separate you from God. Remember what Paul said, what can separate me from the love of Christ? The pleasure of this world? Anything at all. Do not let anything turn away God's presence from you. He promised you, it's your right, it's your covenanted right to have God's presence continuously. It is what Jesus came to restore back to you. It is the privilege that God has given to you and to me. It is that opportunity that we have because the veil was torn from top to bottom for us to have direct access to God the Father and come to him and say, Abba Father, my Father. And if you have that opportunity, don't lose it because of any unclean thing. This year, let us ensure
that we have God's presence with us 24/7, 366 days in this year 2020. God bless you all. Amen. Amen. Amen.